You're tuning in to the Black Hollywood Live Network, featuring news, interviews, and commentary on all things Black Hollywood. Hollywood redefined. From Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is Black Hollywood Live. Next, featuring intimate and in-depth interviews with Black Hollywood's next edition of stars and influencers. Black Hollywood Live. Hollywood redefined.
You're listening to Black Hollywood Live.
And now, the host for Black Hollywood Live, next.
What's up? Welcome to another edition of Black Hollywood Live, next.
We gotta hear the song first.
Love you.
This is the new J. Cole.
Oh, yes.
2014. Just came out 2 days ago?
It came out two days ago, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. Or last week, all the days blend together.
I love it. J. Cole's new album. I am your host, Megan Thomas, and I have this handsome man next to me.
What's going on, Cortez G. West? Welcome back, guys.
Love to hear you. And Kiki is out for the day, but she sends her love and she misses you. But as always, we have a great guest, as we always do here, right on Next. Always do, right here on Next. We have the lovely actress, Hailey Marie Norman, in the building.
You are stunning.
Your eyebrows are on fleek, though.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I got to tell my eyebrow person.
They're beautiful.
She gives me, like, the best dating advice. She, like, does my eyebrows and then gives me dating advice. Her name is Kim Nguyen at Wax, by the way. She's amazing.
Yeah, okay, we're going to have to get some advice from you later on.
She may need to give some advice to another actress in casting news, Tasha Smith. Why Did I Get Married fame. She is going through some issues with her husband, Keith Douglas. They've been married for 3 years. And unfortunately, they're getting a divorce. And now she's got to pay $50,000 in spousal support to Keith.
Whoa.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of money.
On top of the other thing, too, right?
She's got a lot of other stuff going on.
What's the other thing?
She allegedly owes some... She didn't give money, or she took money from a charity. Allegedly.
Oh, wow.
We don't know if that's true. And then in addition to that, Keith has filed a restraining order against Tasha because he said she goes into drunken rages. And so now she has to... They have to stay 2 feet away from each other
in the home.
2 feet or 100 feet outside of the home.
You guys, that's just like that Brad Pitt... What was that? No, it wasn't Brad Pitt. You know the movie with Jennifer Aniston and there's like a line.
Right.
And it's like the bed and they're just tape. Yeah, that's ridiculous. 2 feet.
That is crazy. I don't understand. I just feel like, how do you measure that? How do you go, no, you're 1.5 feet away from me. You need to back up.
Get on the other side of the kitchen. You cannot be by this stuff
right
now.
That's lame, though. That's like...
That's crazy. That's
also, if you really wanted to throw something, like 2 feet ain't nothing.
Right. What do you think about women paying spousal support to husbands?
I think that, you know, that's fine and great. You know, like, we live in an era where if the woman is making more money, then, like, I mean, it is what it is. It is what it is. I think it's good to not have double standards.
Right.
On those things. Maybe I can say that because I don't have an ex-husband who's, like, coming out for $50,000 a year.
Right.
You know, wow. Yeah, I try to stay away from anything that would be like a weird double standard.
That's hard though. Especially we never think about it as women like having to pay spousal support because typically the men are breadwinners. But I mean, in their situation, she is the primary breadwinner. I feel like, what do you do in an instance like that? Like your husband is saying you must pay him $50,000.
Yeah. I know guys though who were divorced and their wives are like actresses and they didn't take the spousal support.
Right.
Because they were like, it just feels like it would like hurt their manhood in some way.
I get that. But
would you take the spousal support?
Tasha Smith.
Why did I ask?
Tasha Smith, yes. Run me my money. Yes.
Right. Well, let's talk about what the next big thing is, Cortez. What's going on in the world?
A couple of things that are big next that are coming up, but I've never been a person. Have you gone to Six Flags, Disneyland, or anything like that?
I have. It's been, because I grew up here in the Valley. So it's been a couple years since I've been to those places, but I've been, yeah.
Well, I'm not a big theme park person.
Okay.
But to see this new roller coaster ride that's coming out, I don't think I ever want to go and see it. So there's a new roller coaster. It's called the Batman the Ride roller coaster.
Okay. Yes, let's watch this.
I'm scared already.
It spins you around.
While
it goes throughout the course. So you're spinning. Look.
Oh my God. beyond 90 degree. No.
Okay, you know, yeah, I'm already getting sick. My stomach is turning already.
Like, that is outrageous, man.
Oh, I can't.
Yeah, I don't know. Would you guys write it?
I'm too old.
And our engineers let her know. She said, I worked at Six Flags.
Oh, gosh. Wow. Would you guys ride that?
I don't think I would.
Haley, would you ride it?
I don't know. I mean, I went with my sister to Six Flags, like, several years ago. I think she was 13 at the time. And I'm older than her. I'm the older sister. And I cried. I cried after the ride, which is that's so embarrassing to admit. But some of those rides are, like, really scary.
Right.
But the simple fact that, okay, you're going to add on top of that, I'm actually rolling.
Right.
I would
ride it.
You would?
Absolutely.
She would be the main one with her eyes closed. So how you would enjoy the ride?
Because I can still feel the flip.
Yeah, Cortez. I feel like it might even be scarier if your eyes are closed. Right. Because everything is,
That's May outrageous. I interject?
Yes.
Go ahead. There is actually already a ride that actually does that.
Wow.
It's called X, and it's at the Six Flags here.
Okay. I think that's the one I went on and I cried.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
Yeah. It does the exact same thing, except it's not Batman.
Oh, wow.
That's the one I cried, y'all. My sister was like, you are the most uncool big sister ever.
Was there like a picture that they do at the end of it?
Oh, yeah, like most rocks.
Yes.
Did you get the picture, Haley? Did you see the picture?
I don't have that picture, but I did just go on another roller coaster, and this is the look at my the top of my face. It's my Twitter.
Oh my gosh! So that's on your Twitter.
No, this isn't even the X ride. That's just the roller coaster.
Oh my gosh!
And I look like I'm crying.
Yes, if you guys are watching this, make sure you go to Haley's Twitter page. What's your Twitter handle?
XO Haley Marie.
Yes.
Yes, check that out because you will see her face is full of fear.
I know, right?
My friend is like a supermodel. Her hair is going back. She's like, "Yeah, I got this."
Oh gosh!
And I'm literally like,
"Oh my gosh, that is hilarious."
That was 2 weeks ago. And oh my gosh! That scary of a roller coaster.
Oh my gosh.
Right. Wait, because there's no scary roller coasters in Vegas.
So I think the X one, I was probably crying too hard to even see the photo at the end. Like, I just needed to get out of there.
Man.
That would have been a good photo to purchase. See the hysteria on your face.
Well, I have something that I know you would not be crying about, okay. Especially with you being a driver. We're all drivers.
Oh, gosh.
It's
LA
the
traffic.
Fact that, how low will gas go? I know everyone has been seeing the gas prices going even lower, but in 2015, right. The gas prices will go even lower, expecting to go no more than $2.60.
And where? Where is this at?
Is it average? It's average. That's the average
in the nation. Okay.
Average in the nation. Exactly. So I actually found this picture. The thing that bothers me about this picture is the fact that I don't think I would stop at a gas station called Get and Go.
You will if that gas is $2.32, honey. You will be at that gas station. You better get to the Get and Go.
That's like water gas to me right there, man.
Well, it has to pass the standard, so it's good.
That's true. There's a standard, and they've got
I don't know what governmental department does it, but there's, if you see on every gas pump, there's like a little seal.
Yeah.
Yes. They have to test the gas and make sure the pump is working, that the gas is like up to whatever grade that they advertise it to be.
Oh, okay.
Right. So
okay.
As some cities right now, gas is already at $2.60. So if it keeps dropping, like that's.
Wait, what do you mean? I just got some gas for $2.49 in LA.
Did?
Yes, girl. But see, I had to couple with my Ralph's Rewards that you get from the grocery store.
Okay,
and I had to buy a $6 car wash. So then it reduced the price to $2.99.
Does not count. She had to get a car wash.
Man.
She had to get Ralph's Rewards.
You know, this is stuff that I had anyway, and I needed the car wash. So I was like, hey, it works.
The only thing is, this will be the main problem. As these prices keep going down, this is going to be the main problem, which is, guys, crowded gas stations. Do not get in any fights. Do not get out your car and pop the person that could not get out of your way
because
they broke in front of you. But that's just outrageous. But gas prices from last year actually it's going to be between 50 and 75 cents lower than last year.
That's good.
So is this only for gas? Like, I wonder if it's for, because they've been talking about how rent is like going up really high and like we're not making more money, but the cost of everything else is going up. I wonder if this is going to be a whole like economic overturn.
I wish. I feel like no, because property taxes and the price of property always appreciates versus like cars. Everything else goes lower. So I feel like the rent will continue to be.
Well, they're saying that U.S. production is strong, the global demand is weak, and in over a year, Americans could save around $100 billion.
Okay. Oh, I need this.
Whoa,
so this is perfect, actually, for you guys, especially because, so not only can you be safe in the bedroom and wear a glove, you can wear a glove at the gas station. So
I need that. I'm a drum phobe. Glove.
I'm a drum phobe.
Literally, every time I pump gas, I have hand sanitizer right next to my steering wheel every time.
Me too. I do it with steering wheel and everything. Yeah, so this is perfect. So you're going to start seeing these around, a lot around a lot of different gas stations, mostly the corporate gas stations like the 76.
Oh, not the Get Go?
Not the Get Go. Not the Get Go. But the thing is, I also read something that maybe Obama plays a part in this. What are you thinking about with Obama playing a part in helping us get these low gases, shall I say?
Yeah, I'll give him credit.
Exactly. Some people are just like, that is not Obama. He ain't done nothing since he's been in the office. I'm like, what?
Well, I'll take these low gas prices. Thank you, President Obama.
And while you're at it, can you lower the rent?
Lower the rent.
Yeah.
I learned my mistake of ever saying anything about Obama because I posted one thing on Instagram around the time of Ferguson and people were angry, and I was like, okay, I learned, like, don't talk about Obama, like, people get real mad. I try to be, like, objective with those things.
Okay.
That's the right word, right?
Yeah.
Well, my car takes premium, so I'm glad that I'm able to see these.
You and your bougie car. Out.
You and your bougie
car. You better get regular like the rest of it. All right, let's talk about you, Haley, and what you have going on in your life. You said you're from Los Angeles originally. What was it like growing up in this city?
It was, so I grew up in the Valley. So are you from the Valley?
I live in the Valley, no.
Oh, okay. I was well enough removed from it, but also I feel like because I grew up here, I didn't have to worry about like, or I never, like, moved to L.A. and lost my mind. Because I feel like in the whole time I've been here, especially in, like, acting schools and stuff, like, so many of my friends are actors who have moved here. And then you just sort of see them, like, get caught up and lose their mind.
Right.
And for me, it's always just been, like, home, and I don't really go out a lot and stuff. So that was cool. And then also cool things, like, I had, you know, growing up, like, Full House was one of my favorite shows.
Right.
And one of my cousins or, like, an aunt or something worked on it, and I got like a dress that they wore in the show, and I went like shopping on Melrose for like, you know, clothes for like the new year, and everyone in the Valley like thought I was so cool because like I had clothes from Melrose, which is not cool now. But and I did some acting stuff when I was a kid,
right?
But it didn't feel like a weird like LA existence, but maybe that's because I didn't grow up in like uptown with like three stoplights or something, so I'm not used to anything else.
Right.
That makes sense.
It didn't feel like too glamorous, but now looking back, I'm like, well, I guess I mean it's LA, so
right. So what's your ethnicity?
So my mom is Russian and my dad is black. Russian and black.
Do you speak Russian?
I don't speak Russian. I wish I did. I need to get that. Well, now there's like apps and stuff you can download. Right. I really want to learn how to speak it because it was my mom's first language.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So I wish that she had taught it to my sister and I. But
like when you hear certain things in Russian, though, do you have that kind of understanding? If you heard certain words, you kind of like, okay, I kind of know what they say, or is it completely like, I don't know what you're talking about?
For the most part, it's the latter.
Okay.
But there are a few moments that I pick up, and we have like some different like traditions and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like we do Russian Easter, which is on a different day.
Oh, nice.
The Russian like the Orthodox cross looks different. So I was just around some different things when I was a kid, culture wise, and like some different foods and stuff.
What's your favorite Russian food?
I've been vegan for 5 years. Yeah, I've been vegan for 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I haven't veganized any Russian food. So it's been so long, I wouldn't even know what to say. Because you can really veganize, like, any food. But,
right.
And my mom is a great cook, but we haven't cooked any Russian vegan stuff.
Mm.
But I love that you said that because I want to, like, try.
So especially now you're like,
around the holidays. Yeah, go home and cook up something.
That's dope.
Yeah.
Are you Black Power people out there, which you don't know, I'm gonna school you real quick. She's one of the original face of the African American Barbie.
Yes.
And you were on the brief, like you were briefcase number 25.
Yes, right? I was. On Deal or No Deal. Yeah.
How was that? How surreal was that? Well, first of all, let's talk about you being the face of African American Barbie.
Yeah.
Like, come on, that's amazing.
Like, were you in the ads? What does that mean?
So when they like draw the Barbie and when they sketch a lot of stuff, I would be the girl that they would model it after. But I was also on the box of like every Mattel toy ever, which was really cool. And and
how old were you?
God, I must have been like seven to a little bit later in life. I first got discovered by Cindy Crawford when I was like a young kid. I was at this restaurant in Malibu, and Cindy Crawford like came up to my parents and was like, "Your daughter should be a model." Oh. So I started just doing like print work and stuff when I was a kid, and I always loved it. My parents were always like, "You don't have to do this if you don't want," but I really liked it. Mm-hmm. What was the other question? There was a part of
Deal or No Deal.
Yeah. How was that?
That was, you know why I really loved doing that? Because it was my grandma's favorite show.
Oh.
So I came on, the first season of the show was pretty short, and I came on at the beginning of the second season. So it was on the air, I knew it was a hit, and it was my grandma's favorite show. So getting to make her proud was like the, just meant so much to me.
Right.
Wow.
Choose my baby! Choose her briefcase!
That's amazing.
That's my grandma.
So you graduated from American Academy of Dramatic Arts.
Yes.
So you've had two different types of, I guess you can say, acting skills. You have dramatic, and comedy?
Yes, yes.
You do stand up?
You know what? I just did this, like, kind of storytelling show at UCB not that long ago, and people afterwards were like, that could be like a whole like stand-up set for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of friends that are comedians, and I totally respect, I'm like, I don't know how they do it. I'm too scared to be to do stand-up.
Well, what type of acting do you like the most? Is it more dramatic, or you like comedy?
I like drama and comedy.
Okay.
And for comedy, I like all the, like, I like a lot of like more like alternative, like weird comedies, but I also like single camera comms, and I also like multi-cam shows. I love multi-cam shows, actually, which is like not the cool thing right now.
Right.
But so I love all different types of comedy. I started off doing drama, and then now I do comedy. I love doing sketch comedy, and I love doing improv.
Oh, okay. So that's what I was going to ask.
Sketch is like, I love sketch a lot.
Yeah.
Do you have a character, like your typical go-to character for sketch comedies?
Well, because it's a very, you know, it's still a very, like, white industry and stuff, like, going to, like, my more, like, ghetto, like, ratchet girl is, like, always a go-to, because they need someone who can play that.
Right.
Yeah.
they need someone who can do that, and, you know, and, but I have more, like, some more, like, weird characters that I work on. Like, I have this old man, like, ridiculous, like, ex-Broadway star, and, I had to do an ex-reality show girl. I prefer original characters over impressions.
Right.
Okay.
More. But yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about some of your acting jobs. So you not only act, but you've co-produced a web series called Hello Cupid, right? So what is that about? Because it's about online dating or something like that, right?
Yes.
Tell us about it.
You've seen it?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. I love it.
Tell us, like, how did you come up with the idea for it?
Okay, so Ashley Bain Featherston and Lena Waithe co-created the show, and they brought it to Black and Sexy. And I had done this, like, reading at CAA, which is how Lena, the writer, and I knew each other. And so she wrote it with me in mind and was like, oh, this girl would be, you know, great for the show.
Right.
So, and asked me to do it. And I thought I was coming on board for something that was going to be, like, maybe a couple months. Like, the internet is amazing because the fans on there are so loyal. Like, there's just so much stuff that isn't on network television that people want to see.
Exactly.
And I mean, I had been a big fan of Awkward Black Girl.
Yeah.
So I knew, but I didn't really know until I was on this show, and now it's been like two or three years or something. And we've got this like awesome fan base, and we've gotten so much from it. I was like, I literally just thought this would be like a couple episode, like fun thing. I had no idea. So it's about two girls who start like a social experiment with online dating. Ashley's darker skinned, and so she felt in the show that she wasn't getting responses from the caliber of men that she wanted to, and she was wondering if it was because of her skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So then she swapped out her, and I was like, no, girl, it's because of your profile is boring. Like, change this, change that. Listen to me. And she ended up just swapping our pictures. And then
oh,
we
wow.
Yeah. And so to see like the different guys that respond when it's a lighter skinned girl versus like a darker skinned girl. Mm-hmm. And even just having those conversations with Ashley, when we were rehearsing or whatever, was like infuriating because the stories that she would tell me that people would say to her because she's darker skinned, I mean, it's gross. Like, it's just crazy.
Right.
It's real.
The brown paper bag test is so real in this country.
It's so real.
Have you ever, you were in this situation, you're the light skinned girl, but have you ever been in a situation where you're the dark skinned girl, you're the token black person, and you're like, oh my gosh, are you really saying this to me now?
I mean, again, it's LA, it's Hollywood, I'm in the entertainment, it's often. Like, I'm that friend where, like, a lot of my friends call me, bless their hearts, it's really cute, actually. And they're like, is this racist? Or, like, did you know Iggy Azalea was white? I'm just supposed to, like, know all these things because I'm black.
You're, like, the black expert.
I am the black expert. Right. So I'm definitely used to that. But also being mixed has been interesting because I've gotten, you know, hate for that.
Right.
You know, so, you know, whatever. I don't know. It's just, it's so, it's
need to love each other more.
I mean, come on.
Right.
Come on.
So you also have a small role in the new movie that's directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood, which I love, Beyond the Lights.
Yes.
What role did you play in that movie?
Very small role. Gina was a fan of mine from the web series Hello Cupid. Okay. And so they called me in and were like, can you do like a day on this thing? And I was like, yeah, you're Gina Prince-Bythewood. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Right.
The script is beautiful.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful movie. Gugu Mbatha-Raw is just great in it. She had been attached to the project for like 2 years. Like, her and Gina, I guess, have known each other for a long time. So so I just did a little fun cameo in it.
I wish I would have known before I watched it. I really loved the movie. The movie was amazing. If you're a fan of Love and Basketball, you'll love this movie as well.
Yeah.
It's a great movie. Yeah, you have to go see it. Get your life together. You gotta go see it.
Get your life.
All right, so right now, you are in a movie that just came out.
Yes.
It is written and directed and stars Chris Rock. Top 5.
Yes.
This movie... I will tell you this. I saw a screening for this before it came out, and I was like tweeting, like, everyone needs to go watch this movie. It is amazing. It is so funny. We actually went together. We laughed, and I have not laughed in a movie out loud in so long.
Oh, that's awesome.
And so tell us about what your experience was like on set for this movie.
It was crazy. It was crazy in all the best ways. Because first of all, when I auditioned for this movie, I had auditioned for it like months before. I auditioned for it, I guess, in May, and I had just worked with Cedric the Entertainer on The Soul Man, on his show The Soul Man, and I was just such a huge fan of this project, and I was like, I want to be involved with it, but I didn't hear anything, and normally, I mean, it's like, you got to work really hard, you prepare really hard for these auditions, you go in the room, you do your best, and then the next part of your job is to forget. To forget it happened.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're like driving your agents crazy, you're driving yourself crazy.
Right.
Like, but there was something about this project that I kept going back to my agents and managers and being like, well, what's going on? Can you guys call? Who got this role? And they just kept being like, they said, we don't know. Like, it hasn't been cast, it hasn't been whatever. So I asked them about it so many times. 2 months later, I get an email that's like, they need you for a call back. Like, Vicky Thomas, who is, I, like, am obsessed with her as a casting director. Like, she's such a great casting director. They needed to see me, like, that day. And I was on set shooting another show.
Uh-huh.
And so I was like, well, what, oh my God, what do I do? I'm on set shooting another show. And luckily, production for that show, it was a CW show, let me out so that I could go to the callback. And we had been shooting in a zoo. And so I was like, I'm going to this audition. All I have time to do is, like, change into a dress. Mm-hmm. And I had been playing a park ranger in the CW show. So I had, which is a really cute show. It's called LA Rangers. And I'm, like, the female lead in it.
Oh, nice.
It's such a cute show. It's really great. I like it. So I was wearing, like, you know, a park ranger hat or whatever. So I'm like, I got this hat hair. I'm smelling like a zoo because I was just shooting in a zoo.
Right.
So I showed up, and luckily I still had, like, all my lines memorized. And I could hear Vicky Thomas, like, getting off the phone with Chris Rock when I walked in. And she called him, like, Chris. And I remember just being like... She called him Chris. And then I was the only girl there. So I was like, am I the only girl in this callback? Like, why is someone else here? Like, what does this mean? And so we did the audition, and then Vicky was like, okay, I'm going to send this tape to Chris. And I was like, and then like a couple hours later, I got a call that was like, okay, so we just need approval from Scott Rudin. And I was like, oh, that's so cool because he's such a big producer. And then like an hour later, I got a call that was like, you need to be on a plane in an hour.
Oh.
Right.
Yeah. And so I just like rushed on the plane. So it was this crazy thing where it was like 2 months of me being like, I guess I didn't get it to like get on a plane right now. Like come and reread for this and get on a plane right
now. That's amazing.
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, and when it came to this, I'm not going to give it away because I want people to go watch and see your amazing performance. But you do a couple of risque things.
Yeah, girl.
When you read the script, did you go like, oh, I can't do that? Was there ever a moment like that for you?
Well, what I did was I improvised. I'm trying to remember if I improvised a few fun lines in the audition or if I just did it when I went to set. But I knew that I was going to be, honestly, I just had to have total faith in Chris Rock, and I'm so happy that I did because I definitely read it, and I was like, and then I like sent it to a few of my friends who I really respect, and I was like, what do you guys think about this? And everybody was like, Haley, this is crazy, like this is crazy, and I was like, I know, but like that's what I'm saying, like it's so like serendipitous how everything happened because. I feel like in any other situation, I would have been like, there's just too much going on here. But again, there was something about this project where I was like, this is worth the risk for me. And I put, like I said, I put my total trust in Chris Rock. When I showed up to set in New York, he said, this is going to be the funniest part of the movie, and it's going to be the scenes that everybody is talking about.
Oh, it was.
It was.
So I knew that I just had to go, like, balls to the wall.
Wow, yeah.
Like, I knew that I just could not hold back, and I really had to do it. And so I did. And then I just didn't tell my parents about it until I get a text from my mom in front of the poster. I'm about to go see the movie. And I said, Mom, please don't disown me. I've got a few things to tell you.
Oh, my gosh. After she watched it, what did she say? Okay, did she talk about
it? So then it was silent, right? And I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, the movie's definitely over. And I'm, like, freaking out, right? So I call a friend of mine who, like, is, like, this, like, man that my mom, like, really respects and stuff, and I was like, Keith, please call my mom. Tell her she's not allowed to be mad at me, okay? This is a big opportunity for my career. Like, how can I say no? And it's the best part of the movie, and it's opened up all these doors, and I'm on the poster. And then luckily, like, as I was on the phone with him, I got a text message from my mom, and she was like, yeah, you definitely didn't warn me. But she was like, the audience was laughing and clapping, so I expect it would do really well. And I was like, okay, good. Now, my dad, I had kind of, like, eased him into it. I was like, you might not need to see this movie, Dad. Like, I was like, yeah, it's really funny and great, but, like, you know, there's some stuff. You know, I'm your daughter. You might not want to see that. And he was, I like, downplayed it, just hoping that, like, he would, like, take the hit, but he did it. So the next morning, I woke up from another text message. My dad's like, I'm about to go see your movie. And I went through the whole thing again. I was like, that's it? Whose house am I going to for Christmas this year?
Right. That part, though.
But like, did Pops love it, too?
We're going
to. Yes. My dad. Well, oh, my God. So he leaves me this voicemail after. I see him calling. I'm like, I got to send him to voicemail. I'm too scared to talk to him. So I sent him to voicemail. And the first things are, like, business things. Like, nothing to do with the movie. Like, don't forget to do this. Number two. And I was like, oh, shoot, man. He hated it. He hated it. And then number three was like, I saw the movie. We love. Like, and he liked it.
That's good.
Right.
At least they know that's your talent. That's your career. It's nothing like you're doing it for real. You know?
Exactly. Right.
Yeah. And I almost think it's better that the wig is great for the character. There was, like, this weird ego part of me that was like, well, I'm in this big movie and no one's going to recognize me. But I know that that's just ego. And, like, the wig is right for the character. But even now, from, like, a career standpoint, I'm like, I think it's great, too, that, like, it's so that I am wearing the wig because it does really, like, people identify me so much with my hair.
Right.
So I think it also really helps hammer home the fact that, like, this is an acting role.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's if somebody approaches you and is like, I saw what you did, Haley. And you'd be like, no, that is a character.
That's
a character.
Did you know who you were doing the part with? Did you know who Carly Rae was before?
So I showed up to set the J before her, and I thought they were saying Carly Rae. You know who sings that song, like, Friday? Like, she's like, I'm happy it's Friday or something.
She's like a kid.
She's like a kid.
You thought it was her?
For an entire day.
Oh, my God.
How funny.
real confused. Okay. Trust in Chris Rock.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Did you know who she was? Did you know who Carly
Rae was? I've never seen the show.
Oh, okay. Wow.
I've never seen the show.
Okay. Atlanta.
Yeah. It sounds wild. Because now I've asked you about it, and it's like, it sounds really wild.
Nice.
Well, it was a great movie. So, top five, make sure you guys go and see it. It's in theaters now.
Yes.
But, so you're also a fan of blaxploitation movies,
yes,
right?
Yes, you killed it. That's how you say
it. And you love Pam Grier. Why the obsession with this genre?
I can see that. You can see that, Pam Grier. You should play her. Yeah.
You guys, that is a life goal of mine. That's a bucket list thing. I would love to play her. I love blaxploitation films. I love that they're, like, the grittiness of them. I love the storylines. I just think that they're so entertaining. Like, I find myself watching blaxploitation films, and I'm like, I'm not, like, on my phone. You know, now we're like, but with blaxploitation films, I'm like, I just love them, and they're wild, and I love the strong female characters, and that's why I like, love and identify so much with the characters that Pam Grier played, because she wasn't just sexy.
Right.
And I feel like there's like this thing in the world in general where it's like, if you're a sexy woman, you can't also be funny or smart or strong or whatever. But she was very sexy, but you knew you couldn't mess with her.
Right.
And she was a strong, independent woman who laid it out on the line and just happened to look like amazing while she did so.
Right.
Still does.
But, and was tougher than all of her male counterparts. Right. And so, I feel like we don't really have those types of roles today anymore for women. Like, I mean, there's some with like the Lara Crofts and this and that, but I haven't seen a black woman play one of those roles.
Right.
And why not? Where is that? Why don't we have a strong black woman playing a real kick-ass action hero type of role?
Right.
Like, that's a problem. And it's missing from Hollywood. And so I guess that's why I go back and watch these blaxploitation movies, because they're not being made anymore.
Right.
So if I want to see a black woman be strong, I got to go watch a movie made 30 years ago? Not right.
We got to fix that today.
She leaving that microphone. Not right.
Not right.
So you've been a vegan for 5 years,
yes.
Right? So I read in a old interview that someone asked you, if someone was considering being a vegan, you know, what would you say to them? And you replied, just do it.
Yes.
I wanted a little bit more. I said, no, give me a little bit more. I need to know why you want me to be a vegan, why I should consider being a vegan.
Because of the, you know, I have to say that since I've become vegan, I've become a much happier person, because it's so easy, especially in this town, in this business, to be so centered on you and to think that there's so, being a vegan has opened up my eyes to, like, I care about, there are so many more issues that are so much, I mean, in every sense, in every, really with every issue, you know, you can look at that and be like, I'm so small compared to all this. But the factory farming is destroying the environment more than all the cars, trains, planes in the world together. Like, factory farming is destroying the environment. I'm also just a huge animal rights person, and the way that they treat these animals is so different from how they want to make it seem on these commercials with like the happy cows or, you know, and it's also the government lying to us. You know, the government, and there's a lot, I was going to say something about like Republicans, but I guess.
Ashley, what's her name? Twitter, Capricorn Ashley. There you go. She said that, I read your interview and I wanted her to really give me a reason, you know, of being vegan. So there you go. Capricorn Ashley. Capricorn Ashley, So what projects are you working on right now? I mean, outside of acting, for like independently yourself.
Okay, so I have a writing partner. We are developing a pilot right now with my manager, so I'm really excited about that. I've got another movie coming out called The Do-Over. I'm about to shoot a movie at the top of the year called Slay the Date that I'm really excited about.
Come on, working girl.
Working. I feel like that could be the name of my blaxploitation movie.
Right.
Working girl.
They think I'm like a prostitute on the street, but really.
But you're really like a superhero.
Yes.
Shut your mouth.
Exactly. Y'all
are we writing a movie right now?
We are writing a movie. That's my next project.
I know, right? That's dope.
But yeah, I've got those two things coming up, and I've been reading a lot of scripts, so I'm excited to see. You know, I want to be on a an ensemble comedy.
Oh, okay.
Like, I would love to be on, like, a Parks and Rec.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just reading scripts and looking for the next project. And I really do love movies, and I would not turn, like, if a great movie script came to me, I wouldn't turn it down. But I really want to be on a network television show.
That's dope. So what's the next thing that... After Top 5, like, what are we going to see you in? So
Slay the Date, I'm shooting that, so that's going to be, like, at least another year. So this movie called The Do-Over, mm-hmm. and then I shot an episode of one of my favorite shows called Comedy Bang Bang.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
It's such a great show, y'all. That is a great show. It's so good. On IFC. So that is going to air probably around March, I think they say.
Okay.
I play the tutor to Scott Aukerman, and I'm David Alan Greer's daughter in it.
Okay.
And so, yeah, so those are some projects.
Nice. Okay. Well, there you go. I'm going to be looking for her because absolutely. I actually like you on Soul Man. So,
yes.
Yeah,
you're
Cedric.
So funny.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. So what can we find you on our social media right now?
So my Instagram is hips, lips, and fingertips.
Oh, that's so dope.
I love it.
Say it again.
Hips, lips, and fingertips.
Boom. Okay. You saw that? That was like a commercial.
Instagram. And what about your Twitter or your Facebook?
My Twitter is XO Haley Marie, and Haley's HAYLEY.
Good job.
Yes. People will still spell it wrong even when I spell it. I'm like, no, it's Haley. HAYLEY. Uh-huh. They're like, uh-huh. And I'm like, that says HAL.
Or HAI. Wow.
And where can we find you?
You can find me on all social media as well as Cortez G West. Make sure you also support us by following Black Hollywood Live on BHL Online. You know, we, like I said before, we're not big on fans, we're big on supporters.
Yeah. Right, and you can always find me, Megan Thomas, on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Meg Scoop, like scoop of ice cream. Until next time, happy holidays, y'all!
Yeah. Happy
Merry
holidays!
Christmas.
Bye!
From producers Maria Menounos, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, Kevin Undergaro, and the entire BHL crew, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions and comments, contact us at info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I'm your BHL announcer, Scipio. Instagram me at Planet Scipio. Thank you for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.